There are an estimated 200,000 Salvadorans living in the U.S. with temporary protected status, or TPS. Earlier this year, the Trump administration announced the end of the program for Salvadorans. But earlier this month, a federal judge in California blocked that decision. So while their fate plays out in court, Salvadorans living here with temporary status can stay, for now, without fear of deportation. But WBUR's Shannon Dooling was recently in El Salvador and brings us the story of how families and communities there and in Massachusetts are bracing for what could be the end of TPS.
Isabel Quintanilla is FaceTiming with her daughter, Irma Flores. This is the easiest way for the two to keep in touch. Quintanilla asks how her new great-grandson is sleeping. Quintanilla hasn't met her great-grandson. She lives in El Salvador. Flores lives in Haverhill, a city north of Boston. Flores has lived in Massachusetts for almost 20 years with TPS. The temporary immigration status allows people from countries devastated by natural disasters or civil war to stay in the U.S. without fear of deportation. And since 2001, when El Salvador was hit by back-to-back earthquakes, TPS for that country has been regularly renewed. Until earlier this year, when the Trump administration announced the end of the program. Flores says it's hard to comprehend the thought of returning to El Salvador.
It's difficult. I never had the time to ask about my own family. I just need that time to figure it out. Okay, we have to make some decisions.
Decisions like, does she leave behind her daughter, her son, and her grandchildren? Does she leave behind her career working with the city of Somerville? An estimated 7,000 Salvadorans living in New England with TPS are facing similar decisions.
Doesn't matter what are the reasons you came to this country, but I think we have been demonstrating to the government we are hard workers.
People with TPS are authorized to work in the U.S. The Center for American Progress estimates Salvadoran TPS holders pump more than $400 million into Massachusetts' GDP annually. Because many of the recipients, like Flores, have been living here for so long, they've started families, they own businesses, and they've bought homes. And they're not only pumping money into communities here, but also into communities back in their home country of El Salvador.
What began essentially as an act of love and support over time became the most important source of foreign revenue for El Salvador.
That's Oscar Chacon, executive director of Alianza Americas, an umbrella group of immigrant advocates. He says remittances, money sent by Salvadorans living abroad, primarily in the U.S., replaced revenue from exports of sugarcane, coffee, and cotton. These cash crops took a big hit during El Salvador's civil war in the 80s and early 90s. The Salvadoran Central Bank now estimates that close to 16% of the country's gross national income comes from remittances. Just over $5 million were sent back to El Salvador from the U.S. last year. That's up nearly 10% from the year before. So why the increase? Chacon points to the end of TPS.
Because people in the U.S. are fearful that their days when they were able to keep sending money may be coming to an end.
People in El Salvador also fear the end of TPS. San Vicente is a small city about an hour's drive east of San Salvador. That's where Irma Flores' mother, Isabel Quintanilla, owns a bakery. The day we visit, the afternoon humidity mixes with the aroma of fresh-baked bread floating in the air. Quintanilla is wearing a red and white checkered apron, slicing pieces of homemade pastel de leche and semita de dulce. She stands behind steel bars while she works. Taking off her apron, Quintanilla sits down and explains why she hopes her daughter, Flores, never moves back here.
Nuestra situación acá en nuestro país no está bien.
Our situation here in our country isn't good. There's a lot of crime, there's extortion. Here, close to the center of San Vicente, is a little calmer, but a little ways up there, people are killed daily. All of the businesses, almost the majority, are extorted.
At one point, Quintanilla says she was doling out $2,500 US dollars in one day. $5,000 U.S. dollars another day. She says young men were collecting the money for a local gang. They'd come in, demand the payment, and threaten to kill her if she didn't pay. Quintanilla had dreams of growing her business and recently tried opening a second location. But she says that sort of thing isn't a possibility here.
The result was that on two occasions, they assaulted me. They tied me up, they pressed their guns against me, they took everything of value, money, clothing, everything. So I had to close. Because the idea was to get ahead with the business, but with the situation the way it is here, no.
It's this sort of violence that concerns Quintanilla most when she thinks about her daughter returning to El Salvador. She says gangs can tell when someone who's been living in the U.S. is back in town. The way they look, their clothing, their accent. Quintanilla is afraid her daughter would be an easy target. But gang violence was not part of the calculation for the Trump administration when it terminated the program. Instead, senior administration officials said they focused only on country conditions related to the earthquakes that led to El Salvador's TPS. But that's a much more narrow reading of the TPS legislation than what's been used by past administrations.
Immigration laws that Congress has enacted are some of the most generous in the world.
U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has echoed this sentiment on multiple occasions. Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern disagrees with this interpretation of temporary protected status. McGovern, who recently visited El Salvador, says the emphasis was always meant to be placed on protected, not temporary.
I've had conversations with the Secretary of Homeland Security, who didn't seem to understand what TPS was. I do because I helped write the bill when I was working for Congressman Joe Moakley. But the bottom line is that after all this time, these people deserve our understanding and they deserve our compassion.
Back at the bakery in San Vicente, Quintanilla and Flores are still talking about work and grandchildren. Quintanilla says she hopes her daughter will be able to fix her status to stay in Massachusetts. Until then, Flores says she'll keep sending back a little money to her mom every month. For Here and Now, I'm Shannon Dooling.